Donald Trump's decision to cut funding to the World Health Organization has been described by leading health experts as, quote, a crime against humanity. They warn it will result in more deaths, particularly in poorer countries, not only due to the COVID-19 virus, but other deadly diseases too, like malaria, TB and HIV. The UN deplores the timing. It says the WHO is, quote, absolutely critical to the world's efforts to win the war against COVID-19. Professor Adrian Bowman is co-director of the WHO Collaborating Centre for Physical Activity, Nutrition and Obesity at the University of Sydney. Adrian Bowman, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
What was your reaction when you heard the news yesterday that the US was pulling its funding from the WHO?
Immediately disastrous, because we recognise those of us who work with WHO through collaborating centres in many different areas realise the immediate consequences of this are one, well beyond just coronavirus, and two, global. You can't just take policy and turn it around immediately and cease funding things. You can defund things over a period of time, but it was one of those reactions that came from the US that will have immediate global consequences.
Are you surprised by the timing of this, the United States president making this announcement in the middle of the global effort to combat this pandemic?
It's no surprise coming from the US administration because they do these kind of random policy decisions, but it's a disaster in the middle of an epidemic because that's when you're trying to ramp up prevention efforts to get control globally. So this virus knows no geographic or political boundaries.
The United States president is critical of the WHO's role and leadership at the time of this pandemic. And we just spoke to Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg a little earlier in the program, who shared some of the criticisms. And definitely the WHO was criticised for taking too long to declare pandemic, just as they were criticised in the past during the Ebola crisis for not getting on top of that early enough, but also criticised for some of the advice coming from the WHO, particularly that it was not worth, in fact, could be counterproductive to close borders, which we can now see was not the right advice at that time. So some criticism is fair enough, isn't it?
Firstly, WHO is not perfect. It's an organisation that's trying to get 194 member countries to agree on something and to agree on a way forward. Imagine the trouble we have in Australia with our states and territories getting consensus multiplied by different health systems, different cultures. But it's the best we've got, and it really does a reasonable job on average and most of the time. And it does do what we need. We're much, much better off with WHO for all the health problems we have in the world than not to have a central organizing group. And really in America, they defunded their Centers for Disease Control so that their response to coronavirus was seriously impeded by that, so that we really need these global public health agencies to help coordinate, communicate.
Yes, but we need our global health agencies to not be politicised too, to not be subject to political pressure, or not to cave to individual political pressures as well, don't we? And
we
the
do,
WHO has been criticised of that in this pandemic and previously.
All health departments, governments, government agencies are subject to some political pressure. On balance, WHO does try to get a consensus-based approach. It consults with experts, and it usually listens to experts. And why we know that is because we, across the WHO collaborating centres, work with different arms of WHO all the time. And that's why we released this letter, because we think that this is unreasonable criticism on balance.
Can you tell us, Adrian, about the work that you do in as part of this collaboration centre? I think there's 800 WHO collaboration centres around the world, 50 in Australia. What are you doing in the work you're part of?
Our particular one is focusing on chronic disease prevention. So we're trying to help WHO implement global strategies for physical activity and obesity prevention and diabetes control. Other WHO collaborating centres in Australia are working on a whole range of infectious and communicable diseases, including malaria and immunisation. Others are working on mental health or health systems. Others are on obesity, so that every possible health issue is covered in a global sense, because we're working with other countries. We're working with the Pacific region. We're working with less advantaged countries to help their health systems cope with both acute infectious disease and chronic disease.
And if we didn't have the WHO, are you saying that that research, and particularly in the developing world and the Pacific in our region close to home, there would be no coordination of that? It wouldn't be happening?
Absolutely. In other words, we can provide advice or support to one Pacific country, but WHO provides the umbrella that provides guidelines and frameworks, and in the coronavirus epidemic provides updated evidence, because we're following the evidence evolving as the epidemic's evolving with this particular virus, so that we're actually changing the evidence, and WHO can communicate that to countries and actually get countries to change policy on the fly.
Yeah, but just to go back to where the WHO appears to have slipped up here, I mean, it was some of the evidence it put forward early on, which is no proof of person-to-person transmission, which was the evidence coming out of China early on, was clearly quite wrong and dangerous then for the WHO to be communicating.
I think even epidemiologists have made missteps in the interpretation of information, which has become clearer as this has evolved. And I think WHO has responded at least as fast as the US, if not faster, to the changing evidence.
So, Adrian, in terms of your work, the US pulling out its budget contribution to the WHO is significant. I think it accounts for at least a fifth of the WHO budget. Are you concerned that will impact on the work you're doing?
It impacts on every WHO collaborating centre and every country, because our capacity to help, particularly in low-income countries and in our neighbouring countries, will be impacted, because there won't be the supportive overarching infrastructure to help contain this epidemic or to help immunisation programmes. We had the huge measles epidemic in the Pacific recently. Those kinds of things will be resurgent, and that will be a global health disaster. And the US won't benefit from that either, because the epidemic will be prolonged, the economic downturn will be bad for the US too, and the US will lose trust and leadership.
That's important. Let me ask you about that, the trust and leadership, because coming at this time, there is some notion that perhaps there won't just be a human toll of the US pulling out of the WHO, but there could be a strategic toll, because a country like China, which does have cash resources, may step into the breach and start offering health support and research to countries and regions outside of the global organisation like the WHO, that could be a strategic advantage or lever for China. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. If WHO loses its funding, Pacific Island countries will turn to us in Australia and to countries like China looking for support for ventilator beds, for absolute increased health capacity, because they don't have those resources. So it's a strategic disaster as well globally.
Well, China is already coming forth to a lot of developing countries with respirators, with personal protection equipment, those sorts of things. It's already on that front. Do you think it might try and broaden that leverage to research support?
That's hard to know. But it would be in the interests of the world as well as the US for this to be rescinded by the US administration. And we've already seen a change in the language. Initially, the US said they were going to cease WHO funding, then suspend funding for 90 days, and now review funding. So we hope this might be a bit of a U-turn, which we've seen before in recent policy edicts by the US.
Just finally, Adrian, I'm not sure if you've spoken to anyone from the government about this in Australia, but the government's position seems to be they're not threatening to pull funding. They recognise the importance of the WHO in our region in particular, but they do want an investigation into the WHO advice and procedures during this time. Is that fair enough?
As they did during Ebola, that's fair enough, but I think they'll find that the WHO has acted reasonably within the evidence as it evolved over the time.
Adrian Bowman, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure, Fran.
Emeritus Professor Adrian Bowman from the University of Sydney, head of one of the 50 WHO collaborating centres in Australia that are worried they're going to be impacted by America's decision to withdraw financial support for the World Health Organization if that threat indeed comes to pass.